to lead there, Brit Hadashah in Memphis, Tennessee. And it was great because it was the 35th anniversary of the congregation, and we had all the previous leaders back in there together all at the one time. Some of the partners had not survived over the years, have checked out and gone to glory early. They've probably got the better position than all of us. But it was great that we could all be there, and great to meet everybody on the new team. And so just want to give a special welcome to you guys to be here and within there. And it's great to be back here in Melbourne. And Anna was freaking out that Mark would announce that we've been engaged again, and she didn't want Mark to do that. So thank you, Mark, for not announcing that. That's really good. But I've just got the look, guys. I've got the look. I've been over here for a couple of days. I brought some Perth weather with me. And today you rejected it and went back to Melbourne weather. Just can't win with you guys. Let's get into the word together. I want to talk today about the most radical event of all eternity. I want to start in John's gospel here. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? The Word what? Was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. In other words, he's the creator. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. I love how John does this. Jewish cover all bases. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not conquered it. The light reigns supreme. The true light that gives light. Me and clickers have a war with each other, but I'm going to win. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Word became flesh, became human, and made his dwelling among us. I love how another translation puts up, moved into our neighborhood. Moved into our neighborhood. Made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John here gives a real powerful beginning to his whole message and unfolding that Yeshua is the Messiah. He's doing a direct echo here of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. So he goes it right back to the beginning, in the beginning, God. Except now he ties Yeshua, the Word, the Logos, into being God, declaring straight away he is Creator God. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who gives light to all humanity. The whole aspect within here, that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. And he reminds us here that one event in history is the most radical event of all of eternity. And that radical event changed history. It changed creation. It changed humanity. And it was so radical, it actually changed God. The question is, what was this radical event? It wasn't creation. Although that was radical, it was always part of God's heart to do creation because he is the creator God. That's part of his job description. And it wasn't even that God created humanity to be his partners, although that was radical, because it always existed in God's heart to make covenant partners, because God is a covenant community God. And it wasn't really the radical event, wasn't that humanity disobeyed God. Sadly, humanity, both back in the beginning as well as today, abused God's gift of free will. Who's ever blown it with God? If you haven't, please come up here. You can throw first stones amongst us all. And it wasn't that, you know, we blew it. God was prepared for it. See, God created humanity with a soul, with a mind, a heart, emotions, and will. And he gave us free will to be his complete covenant partners. Humanity has the choice to either obey or disobey. We are not robots, which you should be very glad that I'm not God, because I would have made you as robots. Robots, you would have obeyed me. But God is far more gracious, of course, and he gives us that gift of free will to partner with God. Unfortunately, the gift of free will then gives us the ability to either do self-will. And sadly, humanity disobeyed God, which is doing self-will, just as we often do today. The act of human disobedience to God carries the death penalty, eternal death penalty. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, all the way through the scriptures. If you sin, you separate yourself from God, both in this world and in the one to come. There is eternal death there. The act of human disobedience in betrayal of our covenant calling as God's partners required this most radical of all events. And because of disobedience and other sin, humanity is facing that eternal death penalty, which is separation from God, who created us in love to be with him. It's our choice to be separated from God. I often hear people asking the wrong question. How could a loving God send people to eternity without him? Well, a loving God doesn't. A loving God made the way so we don't have to. It's our choice to do that. And a loving God won't interfere with our choice. This truth of eternal death is imprinted on the hearts of all humanity. And all religions seek to deal with this penalty of eternal death and separation from God. Some religions deal with it by having a list of rules that everybody must submit to. There's one religion out there whose name actually means, in English, as being submit. And it submit to all the rules and regulations, seeking to counter wrongdoing by somehow doing right, as if enough rights can make up for the wrongdoing. Some religions claim that we are reincarnated until we get it all right, a Groundhog Day kind of existence. Some try to ignore it and say, well, we're not the same person we were a few seconds ago. Our dharma has now completely changed, and I can't be held responsible today for, or this moment, for the sins that the other person did a few minutes ago. A very convenient way of getting out of it. Religions over the years and over the millennials have sacrificed children, virgins, animals on altars, threw them down volcanoes or cracks in earthquakes, seeking to appease their concept of angry gods that hopefully will stop attacking them. Many religions have some human that seeks to become some God-type being that will then dissolve all their wrongdoing and get them free from that eternal death penalty that's imprinted on the hearts of humanity. Sometimes people have claimed this godness for themselves. Other times it's been awarded to them. We see this in the Bible with people like Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Caesar, and others. You have Buddha, demi-type gods in other religions, but no human can become God. If it's possible for one, it's possible for us all. And even if they could never become creator God. Humans, animals, good deeds cannot fix. Creation cannot fix the problem of eternal death resulting from sin and disobedience. Only the Creator can repair creation. And we in the body Messiah believe that no human can become God, but we believe that God can become human. John declares this in chapter 1 and verse 9. I may not win. Chapter 1 and verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And verse 14, the Word became flesh, became human, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The fact of God becoming humanity is the most radical event in all of eternity. And it paved the way for other radical events like God on the cross and the resurrection and eternal life to be with God forever. The whole aspect of this is wrapped up in a theological word that us theologians love using called the incarnation. Anybody ever heard that before? The incarnation is a theological word that describes that God took on humanity. It tells us the story in the scriptures, how that second member of the Trinity, the Creator God, took on humanity while still remaining fully God. That's why Yeshua is called the Son of God, the Creator entering into creation and even into humanity to pay the death penalty for sin and fix the problem of separation from God and to give us the eternal life with God forever. His name is Yeshua, which means God's salvation or salvation from God. See, only the Creator can repair creation. The tikkun olam, the repairing of the world, can only be done by the Creator. There's only one perfect God human that can repair humanity. The incarnation is our most distinguishing factor as Messianic Jews to traditional Judaism. It is Emmanuel. It is God with us, God as us. And that opens the door to all the rest of what Yeshua has done. The incarnation is actually the most radical, the most cataclysmic, the most game-changer event of all time. And has changed all for all time. Why? Because the incarnation changed God. The incarnation changed humanity. The incarnation gives us a future and a hope. The incarnation has changed within there. The Word is 100% God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was what? With God. The Word was God. The Word, Yeshua, took on humanity without ceasing to be God. John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh, became humanity, made His dwelling with us, His tabernacle with us, His home with us. I like, as I said, the other translation, it puts there, He moved into our neighborhood. You understand, God does not want to be the holy other separated away from us. He wants to live with you in your house. He wants to be with you. The whole concept there of this second member of the Trinity, the Word, also known as God the Son, Yeshua, is forever 100% God. He didn't stop being God. But what He did do was take on 100% humanity, of which us theologians talk about a wonderful word called the hypostatic union. The concept of God and humanity, a unique one only, for one being, for all eternity together, tied together at one time to provide us the light of life. And Yeshua lived that full human life. It wasn't a shortcut life. It was a full human life, from that of a baby all the way through to being that of an adult, dying on the cross for us, paying our penalty of eternal death. But the good news is He rose from the dead. And He is the first of glorified eternal humanity, the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead into eternal life, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20 tells us. He paved the way for us to follow. And we've got to say thank you, Abba Father, for what You've done with that. He made the way. We don't have to work at making the way. He made the way. Amen. Yeshua, as God the Son, remains fully able to identify us as struggling humanity and now prays for us as He knows what we are going through because He experienced it. As Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says, therefore He's able to save, He's able to deliver completely those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede, to pray for them. In this way, the incarnation change God. That's what makes it the most radical intervention and event of all eternity, because it even changed God. And the incarnation is that story we remember at this time of the year. Christians call it the Christmas season, where God partnered with a young Israeli woman called Miriam to enable the Word, God, to become in human form. And the incarnation proves to us more than anything that nothing is impossible with God. I love the passage in Luke chapter 1 where the angel has come to Miriam and said to him, this is what we're going to be doing. And she says, how can this be? She's asking for a way. She wasn't saying no. She was asking for a way for it to happen. How can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Ruach will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is already in her sixth month. For no rhema from God will ever fail. Miriam answered, I am the Lord's servant. May your rhema to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. I love it there that no rhema from God will ever fail. Other translations has it there, nothing is impossible with God. But it loses the impact. In fact, you could actually translate it within from the Greek, no rhema from God is without power. If God has declared his rhema, spoken word, then it will happen. No rhema from God is without power. He created the words with these the worlds with his rhema word. God said, and it was good. That can happen for us today. The incarnation is proof that what God has declared for you in your world, in your life, is fully able and possible to take place, because not any one rhema is without power. If God has declared it for you in your life, it can and will happen. The incarnation is evidence that God knows what you're going through in your world. I don't know all your stories, and each one of you have a different story. But I know the one who does know. And I trust him that not only does he know your story, he also knows your answer. And he can declare your answer to you over your world, and it will come to pass. Can you believe that today? It will come to pass. The whole aspect of the incarnation is evidence that God knows what you are going through. The incarnation proves God will go to the maximum to meet our needs, to forgive our sins, give us eternal life. And how much more, if he's given us the maximum, how much more will he give us everything else that we need to get through our daily life? God went to the maximum to partner with us, even to the extent of death on the cross. It was God on the cross, but that started with the incarnation. I've shared this story before, but it is worth sharing again. The concept of what God did for us came down to a reality when my son, who had a rabbit as a pet, he wanted a dog, but I knew my patience gets very tested at night time with my neighbor's dog barking, and if only I could borrow the rifle from my brother who lives on the farm, I would solve the problem, but the cops take a dim view of that. So if it was my own dog, I could do something to get away with it. So instead of giving my son a dog, we settled on a rabbit. And we had this rabbit, and it was a beautiful big snow white rabbit, and we called it Jordan after Michael Jordan. It was a few years ago. And because it could jump so high. And one day my son's out in the back patio and he's hanging on to Jordan, and the bunny as normal jumped out, but this time he went higher than normal. He must have watched Michael Jordan on TV. His hang time was amazing. The problem is when he came down, he went bang on the pavers and he was, went to bunny heaven. And my son comes in crying, howling, eyes crying, you know, oh my goodness, Jordan's dead, Jordan's dead. So I go out there and sure enough I pick up and it's stiff as a board. I'm one hand and got the rabbit just there. And I'm thinking, where's my shovel? Because obviously I'll have to do a little funeral for my son's rabbit. It's just logical, isn't it, you know. I'm thinking, where's the best place to put the rabbit in the backyard, bury it and whatever. And my son said to me, let's pray for Jordan. Now, to be honest, that thought never crossed my mind. But my son said, let's pray for him. It's dead. It's a rabbit. Who cares? Well, you care. But no, who else cares? That's my compassionate heart toward pets. So I say, okay, if you want us to pray for the rabbit, we'll pray for the rabbit. So I pray. I can't even remember what I prayed, because in the middle of the prayer, God went boom in me. And as clear as anything, God said to me, would you be willing to become a rabbit to save this rabbit? You shook your head. That was my response. No, because it's a rabbit. It's alive for about 8 years if it's doing good, 9 if it's living a miracle life, and then it goes to wherever rabbits go to. No, I don't want to become a rabbit to save the rabbit. And clear as anything again, straight within me, but I was willing to become you to save you. You had to put it that way, didn't you? And while we're praying for the rabbit, next thing, no joke, it comes back to life. Gives a great big kick in my hand. It's kind of like, and did the Jordan thing up in the air, bounce and bounce. And I'm going, who knew that God cares about rabbits? But he did. And more than that, he cares about us. Why would he do that? John 3:16, I don't have it up on the screen, says to us, for God so what? For God so what? God so loved. Go figure. He loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God's love brought God's life of light into our world to atone for our disobedience so we might live. The incarnation not only changed God, but also changed humanity. The incarnation of God the Son taken on human changed humanity forever, especially those who accept his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sin. As it says there, John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome, has not conquered it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. What are we meant to be? Children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human passion or plan, but born of God. See, the incarnation changes humanity forever, as now we have the ability in Yeshua HaMashiach to become children of God and live with God forever in eternity. The incarnation means God became God the Son as humanity so he could overturn that eternal death penalty on us by being obedient even to dying that death for us on that cruel cross, so he could empower us to have the ability to become children of God. As it says there about giving up everything, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 says, although Yeshua was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And then he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. See, John chapter 1 verse 12 gives us the purpose for all this so that we could become children of God. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, also declared the work of Yeshua enables us to be adopted as children of God in a number of places. And one of those is the Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in the Messiah, for he chose us. Remember, we didn't choose him. He chose us. That's the amazing thing. In him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Yeshua Messiah, in accordance to his pleasure and his will, Here's the amazing thing. God chose us in love before we were even born, that we might be able to become his children, and he made the way for that to happen. That is amazing. Rabbi Paul also notes our adoption into children of God now enables humanity to have joint inheritance with God the Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Ruach himself testifies with our spirit, we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Messiah. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. See, an heir is one who receives the inheritance. Our inheritance, should we choose to accept it, because it's an act of our will, our free will to accept or to reject, is resurrection to eternal life as joint heirs with God the Son and God's power to live our daily life today. Our inheritance is God's blessing and abundance into our world today, not just in eternity. It's not just about in the sweet by and by when we get there, but it's all about living in God's power today. In this way, the incarnation changed not only God, but also humanity, but also eternity, because now we're going to be there. We'll be there with God forever. God became us so we can join him for eternity, enable us to have eternal life, as we said there from John 3:16 before. As it says also in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if the Ruach of him who raised Yeshua from the dead is living in you, he who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Ruach who lives within you. The incarnation, the most radical event of all eternity, changed humanity forever for those who accept God as God the Son to be their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. You now have the ability to have the penalty for your sin removed, to have joint inheritance. So the whole concept there, we have the ability to have that penalty removed and have that joint inheritance with Yeshua as the Messiah to gain entrance into eternity as God's partner and also to live in our power in our life today. That's what makes the incarnation the most radical event of all eternity. Change God, change humanity, change eternity, enable us to be together forever. It says there in John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who did receive, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right. I love that there. Gave the right to become children of God. And that's where we need to make that active decision of our free will. We were given the gift of free will. And the free will comes down to, I believe, just two things. To obey God, or we can choose to disobey him. What we do in our disobedience can be a range of things. But if we obey God, the glory we get from that. Will we disobey, the shame and death we get from that. It's our choice. The good news is we can reverse it. If we've done the wrong thing, we can reverse it and get back into obeying God. That's what makes the incarnation so radical. It can reverse the curse and bring us back into the presence of God. In the same way, the incarnation is radical because God became us. We now, in our world, need to also become radical by incarnating God out into our world. We are to take God into our world. Too many people say, God, get me out of this place. God, get me out of my family. Get me out of my work. Get me out of my situation. Get me off the... Stop the world. I want to get off. Anybody ever been in that situation? But God says, I know what you're going through. That's why I put you there. Because I'm going to correct your world first through you, and then you're going to flow out into the rest of it. God has put us there, and we are to incarnate him out into our world and show the world around us Emmanuel, God with us and God through us. Because you are now his adopted child. You now have all the inheritance available to you to change your world. Not any one rhema from God is without power. Not any one rhema from God is without power. That's what the incarnation's all about. If God can do that for us, how much more can he do anything else? Could you stand with me, please? I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your world. But I do believe that God wants to touch people here today. If you've never accepted Yeshua as your Messiah, if you've never been there and had him touch your life, this is the day that you can. And we're going to close in a moment and some singing. Just feel free to come down and speak to the leaders, Mark, myself, one of the other leaders here. Maybe the person who brought you here, or you came with, speak to them and ask how you can accept Yeshua as your Messiah, how you can partake of the one who came for you to set you free. But if some of you also need prayer, feel free to come down the front here because we want to pray with you as well. We want to join with you in prayer to pray for whatever. God came that you might be set free. Amen? Amen. I want to close with the Aaronic benediction and ask the praise team to come up. And then we can close with a song and then Mark will finish off everything there. Hallelujah. Let's just worship God. Hallelujah. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yarer Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisar Adonai panav elecha. V'yasem lecha shalom. Shabbat shalom, everybody. God bless you. Let's just pray, Lord, that you would touch everyone here with whatever they're going through in their world, whatever they're going through in their lives. You who are the incarnated Word of God here in our midst, that you would touch the hearts of everyone here. Meet their needs, whatever they're going through. Transform their world, transform their lives. Because you've already done it all. Now we ask that you do it in our lives, that we might grow more like you and we would incarnate you out into our world, that we would change our world, your light into our world. B'Shem Yeshua. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you.